The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Raro mai kia on the rag, he konei ipurangi mō ngā manawahine. Citizens of the nation, welcome to On the Rag, a podcast for and about the mana of women.
I did it. I love it.
It was outrageous.
It feels good.
I want to go to sleep now, unfortunately. There's a lot to get through. Sorry we're late. This is the February episode, by the way. It is March 5th. It's all
early
good.
March.
It's all good. We have early reasons. Ko Alex Casey Aho. I am joined today, as always, by Leonie Hayden.
Tēnā koutou katoa.
And the lovely Michelle Court.
Kia ora.
We're all back together. Mm-hmm. Before we get started, big thank you to the Women's Bookshop, the lovely women who make this podcast possible. If you're in Auckland, check them out on Ponsonby Road or buy their books, all of them. Buy every single one.
All of them.
Not a dud.
Two copies.
I think that's their official tagline. It's not a dud in sight. At www.womensbookshop.co.nz. We've got an amazing giveaway. I mean, the giveaways are amazing every month, but this one is that gorgeous kind of hardcover coffee table book called Womankind.
Ah.
New Zealand woman making a difference.
Red.
It's got a
Hinemoana.
And it's got these gorgeous profiles of all these amazing New Zealand women, Auntie Jackie.
Auntie Jackie's in there, Lexi Matheson. It's a really amazing list of people that you are familiar with and then women that you're not so familiar with who have done amazing things. It's a really nice mix to have in the book.
It was amazing.
Good name, though, as well.
Womankind.
Yeah. You know, it is a word that means a thing, but then there's other words within the word that mean things.
Yeah,
and I like that.
Recommended retail price $65.
Damn, that's
and
a
you
good
can
price.
You can win that for free.
Pretty books.
On our Facebook page, facebook.com/ontheragpod. We've got also Instagram, Twitter, @ontheragpod. Those have been neglected recently. We're sorry, but it's all going to kick off.
Mm.
It's all going to kick off soon in a big way. And we've also got our private Facebook group. The mostly drama-free.
It's been largely drama-free.
Corner of the internet called On The Rag 24/7, which has been, this month we had some times.
We had some times. We got a bit bigger.
We have.
And with great numbers comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
As RuPaul once told me.
Yeah, so Leonie wrote a beautiful explanation of the kaupapa of the page. And we want to have a place in the world where we can talk and we can say whatever we like about whatever we like. And I know nothing's private, but let's try and make it private.
Mm-hmm. As private as possible. Certainly we're not linking to it publicly anywhere, least of all in news articles on stuff.co.nz.
Yeah. There's a lovely phrase, Chatham House Rules, that people use, which is you can say whatever you like within the space, but it doesn't get reported outside of the room. And and that's really well recognised by journalists. A lot of journalists have those spaces where it's all off the record. You can't report on it. So let's not do that.
It's Chatham House Rules and On The Rag 24/7. And it is, you know, which we're talking specifically about an incident where some comments about the Whittaker's gender reveal chocolate were lifted by a journalist inside the group and published on a news website, and it was quite a freaky night. Yeah. I mean, it was suddenly it felt like quite a, I guess, a betrayal of the space, which sounds weird when you're just talking about something that doesn't even really exist, but it suddenly gave us all a fright. So we are, I've sort of tightened up the entry mechanism a bit.
I mean, not that much. Why do you want to be in the group?
But if you don't say anything, you're not getting in.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I will, in fact, decline you. I won't leave you sitting there like a silent person on my doorstep.
No, don't leave them hanging. Just give them a proper shove off.
Yeah. But again, it is also just the three of us admining.
Yeah.
Admining that page. That's a word.
Administrating.
And so sometimes things do slip through and we're very sorry, but we're also, you know, it's a lot of work, I think, keeping eyes on that page. I was just scrolling through it actually to get some stuff for the podcast. I noticed some things get posted 7 times. So, yeah, I'm not sure. We are kind of working on how best to run the page going forward, but we really don't want to add in like a whole bunch of caveats. And
no, but maybe we could get some of our most regular users to help us, and maybe we could make a couple of you guys admins as well.
That's a good
help
idea.
Help us keep an eye on things.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. And can I just do a shout out to people who belong to that page who have been turning up at shows that I've been doing around the country.
Yes, awesome.
It's so lovely. So I've had some photos with Raggers, and we have agreed that we don't have a handshake yet, but anybody who leans in and whispers, smash the patriarchy, gets a, we do a selfie. Yeah.
I love it.
Bloody love it.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
It was very cool.
Also, can I just float something that one of our group members used the other day, ragamuffins.
Oh, I like it.
Delicious. I like it too. I think it's delicious and adorable.
Yeah.
Which just describes us and our community perfectly.
That's exactly what it is. I also wanted to, two particular highlights from the On The Rag group this month was something that happened actually a long time ago, but I've only just fully digested the name of the playlist that someone made on Spotify, which is Rag Against the Machine.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It is such a good playlist.
It's such a good playlist.
I have been smashing it.
I've just got into Spotify. I'm a bit.
Welcome to 2019.
I'm going to.
You should do it.
Yeah, I can handle
it's
iTunes.
Crazy out there. You don't even need a CD-ROM or nothing.
Is it? Can you get it on a DAT? Or is it? How do you loop it?
The other amazing thing was a video that someone posted where she turned up to, I think it was a wedding, wearing the same outfit as another woman who was there, and instead of doing like the sneaky side eye, they both did an impromptu jig to I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston. And the video of it is just the most joyous, delicious thing I have ever seen. So there's a lot of good
That's
there.
That's lovely.
Just issue a PSA. Don't write stories about that.
No.
All right. Coming up on the podcast, we've got women wearing suits. Gasp.
Outrageous.
Men wearing skirts.
Oh, come on.
A man called Jordan Squeakerson.
Hello, my name's Jordan.
And the deadly truth about a world built for dudes. But first, I think we should just have a personal chat. Michelle, yes. You have been away for 900 days.
Yes. I love it. God, I love being on the road. I know it's quite nice to come home and sleep in my bed and do my laundry and see my cat. But if I could spend my whole life on the road, I would. Mm. I would say yes, please. That would be great. It has had some highlights and lowlights. One of the things, my hot tip is that the Women's Bookshop coffee mug is an excellent travel cup.
Oh, yeah.
It's solid as, and you can jam it in a suitcase. And that has made me feel at home in 27 motels.
Wow. Yeah, that's so nice.
We did have I'll just tell you one quick story. Wairoa, because I've loved everything and I've loved every place, and you always meet lovely people and you meet some crazy people, and every town is different and every venue is different. But we arrived in Wairoa, and the motel that we were staying at had just been raided a couple of hours beforehand by the police, because the manager there had been running it as a tinny house and brothel.
Wow.
Yeah, cool times. So we missed that bit, but we were still there when the mongrel bob arrived to pick up their barbecues and mattresses. So there you go.
Wow. And, did you have a nice stay there?
No, particularly. We usually push the, you're supposed to check out of every motel in the world at 10 a.m. I don't know why. And you're not allowed to check into the next motel until 2 p.m.
Yeah.
So you try and stretch out your leaving so that you don't arrive somewhere where you can't check in. But we scampered out of that motel at about 9 a.m. and drove somewhere else and had a shower. That's great. I'm not familiar with what they really look like, but I walked into our unit and looked at the floor and went, that's a bong stain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Detective Michelle.
I know. I'm onto it.
You've also been producing, I mean, always beautiful writing, but particularly beautiful writing about the regions and, like, places, I feel, over the past few weeks. I've loved, we're swimming in the streams of...
I love swimming every place we go, at their lake or their river or their coastline, whatever it is. That makes you feel like you are part of the place, I think. So the Ngangahua River in Reefton was pretty spectacular. Diving wildly into Lake Wakatipu and Lake Wanaka were... you know, after the first 30 seconds, you're basically numb and you don't realise how cold it is. So you can stay in for a bit. Yeah. So it's good. Yeah.
It's good. It makes you live longer as well.
Does it?
Swimming in really, really cold water, apparently.
That's what our green does.
I'll be 140.
Yeah. He's probably 200 years old.
That's right.
Yeah, I think he is.
Well, while you've been doing that, we've been back in the trenches working on the first episode of our new TV? Television
video series.
Video moving
Talkies.
Pictures moving pictures with sound program. No, I just told Amber I was going to do a great job of promoting it. Don't even know what it's called. Video show
You're nailing this, Alex.
Does that come up? Can you get it on the Spotify? Or is that a different thing?
On VHS. It's called On the Rag. And the first episode is literally arriving next week on March 13th on the spinoff. We are filming it with a studio part of it tomorrow.
With a real studio with a backdrop and props.
We've got everything.
And then there's us in it in the studio.
Talking.
Doing thing much... like we're doing right now.
The good talks.
We do real good at talking about important issues. But we also do like BTs and things and, so other
interviews
and things. Interesting people.
Interesting.
What's the first topic, Alex? What's the first theme of our first episode of our talking video show?
It's going to surprise you all. Episode one is about... periods.
Get away. Come on, shut the front gate.
Who would have ever thought? It was just yesterday, actually, I was doing Vox Pops on the street on Newmarket.
On Newmarket.
God damn it.
In Newmarket.
Just, I tell you what, it's a humbling experience just walking up to people and trying to get them to talk about their periods on camera.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I got some amazing, amazing answers. It was sort of like, bit tentative at times.
Yep.
A lot of people really late for the train. Like all of them, apparently.
No matter what time it was.
We're all late for the train.
In a rush.
But no, there were some amazing amazing answers. Very frank discussion outside the Nespresso shop.
Did you get quite a range of ages or was it?
I did.
Oh, that's good.
I did actually. We'll see there. I guess we can talk a bit broadly about what's gonna be in the episode. Leonie, do you want to talk about your
routine? I do a fantastic interview with a woman named Michelle Wilson, who Alex has actually interviewed before. She is the co-founder of I Am Eva, who make the amazing period underwear. Michelle gave me two pairs, which was so freaking kind of her, and honestly, I am so in love with them.
Yay!
I was quite nervous to try them and was just convinced. It didn't matter how many times I'd been told by both her and people who'd actually use them that they really work. I was still like, I think I need to use a liner as well. They're amazing. They're totally amazing.
Brilliant.
The technology is there.
And she was really awesome and... filming was really fun. We went out into some beautiful outdoor locales and I just really felt like I was, you know, communing with a kindred spirit in nature. She is a fantastic wahine Māori. And she's also the founder of Frankie Apothecary. She makes all this beautiful skincare out of natural ingredients based on rongoā Māori natural medicine principles. And she just had heaps of crap in her car and she just loaded all of us, the whole crew, with kawakawa balm and oils and natural sunscreen and soaps. She does like a hair soap bar, like a shampoo one and a conditioning one. And honestly, we were so spoiled by her and I've used everything she's given me and it's gorgeous.
So while I'm off in Wairoa dealing with the mongrel mob, you're getting free showered shit.
Showered in gifts.
So is Frankie's Apothecary, that an online thing?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I don't think she's got a physical store.
Okay.
The products are beautiful.
I've been having skin trouble. Interested in natural products.
Kawakawa balm is good for literally everything.
I love a thing that's good for everything.
Yeah.
That's great. Good.
That's a cool ass tip.
Yeah. So it went well. But I cannot wait to see Alex's piece. I've been hearing all about the japes. Alex's is going to be typically quite funny.
I went a bit extra, I think. I think I've gone a bit extra this time.
There are outfits.
Mere 20 locations, 1,000 outfit changes. And like kind of stunts almost. Like we're going big for episode one.
Actual sports stunts.
Yeah, I had to be on a BMX. The funniest thing was that I didn't realise on a BMX. Like I was riding a child's BMX. The context will come later. You don't need it right now. I was riding a child's BMX. It was like covered in skulls and stuff. Tiny bike. And I didn't realize on a BMX you need to you stand on it. You don't sit. So I sat down and I was like a clown. Like a clown on a tiny bike. And my legs were going over my head. And I was like, and I was stuck in the position just screaming going down a hill. And that was like only one of the many, many different things I had to do that day. Another very surreal moment was lying in the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere on a towel, while Amber, our incredible producer, just dripped blood on my butt from a height to get a shot that we needed
for the VT.
So there's a lot going on there. Ironically, I also got my real period on the day. It was just layers upon layers upon layers. And then I wasn't sure if the fake blood was the fake blood or the real blood. It was honestly.
And then I had to put on a white bikini.
And then I had to put on a white bikini for this. Yeah. Of course I did.
Of course.
It's content. For a pool shot. And I put on the white bikini pants and I was like, looked down at my legs and there were blood stains between my thighs. And I was like, I had to call Amber and I was like, I don't know if this is real or fake blood. So then we tried to get it off. It didn't come off. So it turns out it was the fake blood. But what a moment. That's what a situation.
Special. That is special.
What a confluence of events.
The commitment to the topic is just outstanding.
Yeah, above and beyond.
Outstanding.
Also, shout out, we have an all-woman crew as well.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Crew is so great. There's a couple of boys working sort of on behind-the-scenes stuff, but our in-studio crew and in-the-field crew, entirely women.
Yeah.
And they're really fun to work with. And they have all the feedback from them so far as well, because they obviously work in male dominated industries and sound and video production and directing and whatnot. And they have just been like so excited and happy to
and
be working
cool
with all women.
And not just, to be the rarity.
Exactly.
The normal. That's really nice. I'm going to talk about economics.
Yes.
But I haven't done very much. It's all happening tomorrow, all of it. And it involves toy trucks and bags of groceries and a loaf of bread.
Intriguing. What a tease.
Mystery.
So, you'll start to see a lot more of the On The Rag show popping up in the next week, and it will be live next Wednesday, the 13th, on the spinoff. And we are so excited. Woo! So excited.
Woo!
Thank you, Tina.
Thanks, Tina.
Okay, let's move on to the news, shall we? I wanted to begin with, we actually talked a lot about Kugelein last month, but something happened in February that was a little closer to home for us, which was our colleague and occasional On The Rag star, Madeline Chapman, rocking up to the cricket with her peaceful protest banner that said, "Wait is not yes between the wickets or the sheets."
I had to have that explained to me, not knowing that much about cricket.
Run out.
But
yeah.
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 Good banner.
Yeah.
Good banner.
Yeah.
And thereby becoming part of the news herself.
Martin Devlin did not like her sheet. He was incensed by it and went on this kind of on-air, I don't even know what station is he on? Sport? Radio Sport. He went on a tirade against Madeline, called her all sorts of names, a dickhead, which I don't know, a whole bunch of other, accused her of not being a journalist, manufacturing stories, and then weirdly threatened, saying, I hope you've got no skeletons rattling away there, love.
Yeah. Which is hilarious because it's Mad and she's been basically a sports nerd her whole life and absolutely does not have any skeletons rattling away anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really something.
That bizarre diminishing of her ability and experience. She's written a sports book, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. She's written more sports books than Martin has.
Yeah.
So
she's a best-selling author.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And an award-winning journalist.
Mm-hmm. It always seems weird to me that people respond so badly to a banner on a sheet.
Of all the things.
Yeah. Why is that so offensive to you? I'm so much more offended by the whole New Zealand cricket attitude towards, just their silence on the issues of consent. There's so much more to be offended about than what was actually a very witty slogan.
Mm-hmm.
Also, accusing someone of manufacturing news when it's an issue that was leading the news cycle for, you know, a good few weeks on a number of different occasions, you know, during the trial, mm-hmm. after the trial, et cetera. Mm. I feel like commenting on an actual news story is so far from manufacturing news.
And then ironically, making it a news story.
Absolutely.
Through your outrageous response.
It's quite delicious. As Toby Manhoe wrote, it's almost like a form of performance art, what he's managed to do about the nature of the media. But no, obviously we love Mad. It was ridiculous. There's also been Michelle Langston.
Yes.
Wrote this amazing piece for the spin-off
and really appeared on the project. Piece. Yeah.
As a lifelong cricket fan.
She's a Mad cricket fan. Anybody that follows Michelle on Twitter will know that her feed is either about her cat or cricket.
Yeah.
And a really heartfelt piece that she wrote about not being able to watch her favourite game while that dude is playing. Mm-hmm. So,
Like,
and while New Zealand cricket is silent, really.
Massive shout out to her for that, because you get used to a certain amount of backlash as a writer, especially when you know you're going to be writing on a certain topic, be it race or gender or whatever. She's not a journalist or a professional writer, although she writes incredibly well and was nervous about writing for us, but she did it because she believed that it was the right thing to do. And she got a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But she also got a lot of support.
Yes.
Mm.
But it's a really brave thing to do regardless, because you do get a lot of crap from a bunch of dicks.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it anyway.
Yeah.
I thought that was really awesome.
And she was amazing on the project as well later that night. So calm and like, this is just the facts. It's not, this is the thing I've been like feeling more and more, is like these things get framed as like outrage or, you know, backlash. And it's always so like inflammatory. But then you actually talk to the people who are just arguing these things, and they're just people sitting there being like, I just don't agree with this because of X, Y, Z. People aren't screaming, you know. Mm. We're angry, but it's like, I hate the framing of these things of like a flame war, you know? And I just thought,
I'd love it if the media was banned from using the words outrage and backlash just for 48 hours, just to see what would happen.
Mm. Yeah.
Just to see how else we can frame literally any time someone disagrees with someone else.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, something similar happened recently when Chelsea Jade did a very mild but still critical tweet of the 660 lineup not containing any women. It was a big lineup. As it turned out, there was a couple of accidental, not credited women on the lineup, which I think was maybe part of their defence. Anyway, very mild criticism. And that she just got yelled at, and like, it also got framed as outrage. And it was like, why is this the only like emotion that we can attribute to people all, who want to have a discussion about something that they don't agree with.
The dial is not always up to 11.
Yeah.
I asked a question on Twitter related to self-ID for trans people, and it was a genuine question.
Yeah.
And just, how dare you, and stop screaming at us. And I'm like, no, I actually, I asked you a question. You gave some data. I wanted some contextual data. But the assumption is that everybody is at their keyboard screaming like Martin Devlin.
Yeah.
Mm. When in fact, not so much.
Yeah. Martin Devlin definitely was screaming the whole time.
Oh, yeah. No, you could actually hear him.
Because our chocolate gender reveal comments that were lifted from our private Facebook group were also framed as backlash.
And when I actually went to News Hub,
who published it and said, I was wondering if you could take the story down. A, it's a private group. These comments were not in the public space. But also, you framed it as backlash against Whittaker's. And I just don't think a handful of people discussing it calmly in a private group counts as backlash. So technically it's wrong.
Totally.
They didn't take it down.
And they were just making jokes as well. It wasn't even like, I'm so offended by this. It was just like, crack up. Like,
burn the chocolate factory down. There was none of that. It was like, this is totally lols.
And that's the problem when you harvest comments from Facebook groups or any social media, is that you take them out of their context, which in On the Rag, when it comes to stuff like that, is always more humour than anything else.
Yeah.
It's usually people, tongue firmly in cheek, taking the piss, because that's a better way of dealing with things that kind of irk you. Because that's not worth yelling about, which is why no one was yelling about it.
No. Mm.
Which is why you can't fucking call it backlash and outrage.
Sorry. You sound outraged, Leonie.
That was lashing back at the end.
That was genuine outrage.
Okay.
So now we've got outrage at the outrage. Yeah. Right about that.
Outrage.
All right. Cool tips. What do we got? We've already dropped a few. We've dropped a few. It's all right. I'll allow it. But now is the actual time.
I also, when I talk about the women's bookshop mug in the back of the car, you don't, can I just say, if you're travelling in the back of a car, you don't actually need a lid on your cup. You can drink green tea out of a mug.
Are you sure about that? Sounds like second degree burns.
What about a speed bump? What about a
What about it's Lee or the possum
situation?
No. Okay. Michelle. All right. Wow, that escalated.
Oh my God.
Outrage.
Outrage. My cool tip is a tool to use online. I interviewed, actually, this is another amazing thing. She's not only a ragger, she's also editing the On The Rag video show. Her name is Bro Johnson, and she is also the CEO of Narrative Muse, which is this online tool where you sign up, you do a long questionnaire about the sort of things that you like watching or what you feel like, and then it finds you a whole slew of movies and books made by women and non-binary people.
Yes, please.
That you might never have found before, also with the option to buy them immediately on iTunes or wherever else
that's
to
so
pay
good.
The...
Because Google is shit at that. Number of times I've described the movie I want to watch and they come back with Love Actually just makes me want to poke my own eyes out.
That algorithm,
the Netflix, like, movies with a strong female lead. It's just like, come on. But it's honestly an amazing tool, and I just highly recommend everyone use it. It's quite this is quite interesting to fill out. What I really appreciated in the questionnaire is there's also like, what are your no-go zones? Are you fed up with seeing violence against women, or like, you know, particular issues that you just don't feel like, you know,
I do not
processing.
Want to watch anybody being raped, please.
Exactly. And yeah, I highly, highly recommend it because I'm scared of the algorithms and the echo what's that word? Echo chambers. I'm very sick.
Echo chamber.
I've had a lot of vitamin C. I'm scared of the echo
chamber. It's a real problem,
I'm scared
you guys.
Of the echo chambers. Just giving us the same thing over and over and over again. And, you know, a lot of these makers will never make it to your Netflixes, your Amazons, etc. So give them a shot. That's my tip.
My tip revolves around mayonnaise.
Yes,
this is going to be the best one.
We got multiple deliveries the other day because Best Foods Mayonnaise is the sponsor of the comedy festival. And so quite a few people in our office got deliveries of mayonnaise, including myself. Which is really handy because I like mayonnaise.
Me too.
For a number of different reasons. And having excess mayonnaise is really great because it's a really good hair mask.
What
is it?
In the name of
the egg, the oil, everything that makes that mayonnaise is like really awesome for your hair. Just
that is great.
Stick that shit on there for ages. Another mayonnaise hack, you can make a really delicious chocolate cake with it.
Come on now.
Get out of it.
The one instructions on the page, please.
Yeah, I'll link to the recipe.
Do you know what I like to do with mayonnaise? I get tuna in a tin in water, drain off the water, give it to the cat. My cat will jump two garden fences to get to that when he hears me tear open a tin of tuna. And so once you've drained it off, then you mix it with mayonnaise.
Yum.
It's delicious. Yum. And maybe some grated carrot in there for bulk and a little bit of fiber.
Ooh.
Away you go.
That sounds good.
Put that in your hair.
Yeah. Well, maybe not
what
with
about
a carrot.
When I was a kid, my mum would, this was like a fancy entree, was basically exactly that, but in half an avocado.
Oh, yeah.
And I just always thought as a kid that that was just like the fanciest way you could possibly serve food.
That's great.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to. Have you ever done the thing where you break an egg into the groove of an avocado where the stone was?
No, because hot avocado is just an abomination.
This is the problem because then you have to bake the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I reckon maybe poach an egg in a similar vessel.
Groove.
Yeah. Drop it in. Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Just the thought.
Yeah, very good.
Cool tips, everybody. Can't wait to see everyone's mayo pics. Send us your mayo pics.
It's expensive. It's quite an elaborate. It's only a tip worth sharing because I have excess mayonnaise.
Okay.
But it can be quite pricey.
Right.
But the mayo cake is actually genuinely very delicious.
Mm. Yeah, recipe out, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about how to avoid turning your home into a man repeller.
Yeah.
Did you see this story on the Daily Mail?
Oh, I have so fucked
in February. It's quite an amazing article just about interiors therapist reveals. How does that work? Interiors therapist.
Yeah.
I'm an interiors therapist.
Well, it's somebody who appears to be psychoanalyzing you through your decor and then by adjusting your decor, improving your psychological health.
Mm.
See, that in principle I can get behind because, I mean, I guess that's like the condo principle as well, is that these external
clutter makes
forces, exactly. But, I mean, I think it can go both ways. I think it depends on the person. Like some people actually get a lot of comfort from having their things around
them. I love clutter.
Yeah. See?
I look around the house and go, I went there, I did that, I saw her.
So someone, I guess, who was good at that job would be able to talk to you, look at your environment and make, you know, connections between the two. But with this article...
She was ruining a really nice
totally
apartment.
Insane.
Lovely apartment.
She had too many strong women, strong women in the house, and that was going to put men off. You know what? I think it's like a drawbridge. It's like a filter. If a dude can't handle the fact you've got a picture of Frida Kahlo in your living room, you don't want him in your living room.
You really don't.
Keep Frida, lose him.
Exactly.
It's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This woman had 51.
Frida,
51 woman.
Frida is protecting you in this instance from this type of man.
You're also not allowed a cactus, apparently.
Too prickly. Bit spiky.
Too prickly. Too prickly for a man's eyes to look at.
Well, if you shove it in his eyes.
Like the ones that are penis-shaped or just any kind of succulent.
I mean, there's probably some more bloody psychoanalysis to be done there.
Are they threatened by a plant
this
having
one is
a
like
larger
a more
penis
classic
than them?
Yeah.
Is that the theory?
I think that's bang on.
Or that this woman already owns a larger penis than the one that he's in possession of. And therefore he's not needed.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Only one prick allowed in this room.
Lol.
Hey. No bald wall. Fucking hell.
So good at talking
no
today.
No bald wallpaper. Keep it simple. You don't want to distract the man with too many prints.
The whole premise that you design your living space to suit a person who doesn't live there yet.
Yeah, that you've never met.
Ridiculous. It's make your space comfortable for you, and then somebody who's comfortable in it will be comfortable with you. I should open a business.
You should. Yeah. The clutter queen. Yeah, it's just interesting. I've been thinking about my own home and, you know, sharing a space with a man and what is kind of mine and what's his. And I definitely have a lot of stuff. Mm. Like, I'm definitely the prime clutterer. If you walked in, I think it would be my space, potentially.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
My partner is a keeper of things, even more than I am. I quite like to let go of things after a time.
Yeah.
But he's, so I have had the odd nightmare that I'm going to keep clearing stuff I don't want of mine anymore out, and he's going to fill that space with 18 years worth of Time magazine. So there's a balance to be struck.
There was a really funny, Emily Wrights wrote a very funny piece for the spin-off in response, which was called How to Decorate Your Home to Make Men Horny for You. And it was very funny, and she, like, one of my favourite things she suggests you have is one of those, a picture of dogs playing snooker.
It's a classic.
Such a classic, eh?
How can any dude not be super horny after seeing that?
And a promotional Jim Beam armchair from the mill in 2004. It was a really good piece. But what I liked about it, she kind of, just in a side note, she talked about how last season on Married at First Sight, it was like a very funny thing that Fraser in Wellington didn't have a bed frame. He just had a mattress on the floor and like a very sort of stripped back room with a weird kimono on it. And everyone sort of laughed and went, oh, typical Fraser. If that was a woman who didn't have a bed frame.
Yes, that's outrageous.
Call the police.
Yeah.
Like, it would be
slatting. Hopeless.
It's just an interesting thing I haven't really thought about. It's always been like a funny thing, like joking with like my friends, like, oh, this guy didn't even have any like pillowcases.
Yeah.
Or, like,
yeah.
They don't have bedside tables. They don't have like basic things.
Just one set of sheets. It has to be washed and dried and all on the same day.
See, when I was at Tech doing journalism 137 years ago, a journalist who's really well known now slept for a year on a mattress with no sheets. And everybody just went, oh, John, oh, mate.
John Campbell?
No, a different
Michelle.
One.
Michelle.
No, I bet he's got Egyptian
he
cotton.
He has so many sheets, yeah.
I really like in that Daily Mail piece as well that apparently Buddha is a sign of poverty and isolation if you have a Buddha in your house.
Like, oh, my God. Oh, it's ridiculous. All right. Anything else on the man repeller before we move on? Just put what you want on your bloody walls.
Build yourself your own nest.
Mm.
Prince. Also, go easy on the gloomy titles for your books was another one.
Yes.
What?
The pieces of advice. So, you know, just I think maybe just Babysitter's Club books on your shelf.
Yeah,
if you want to attract a man, just leave it there.
Incredible. I have a mansplain moment.
Ooh.
And this is one that popped up actually on the Rag page as well, which I just thought was very funny. And this woman, Lisa, had tweeted it as well, so I'm hoping it's okay to share. She said, I drive part-time for ride-sharing services such as Uber, Ola, and the all-female Drive Her. About 40% of the time, if a single older man gets in the car, regardless of the fact that I'm using GPS in the app, he'll still give me directions. To be fair, sometimes the GPS is wrong and I'm unfamiliar with the area, so that's okay, fair enough. Although I've sometimes used it with the sound on and they'll echo the GPS lady giving directions as if I'm not sitting right next to him. Basically, they mansplain the GPS instructions to me. Hashtag eye roll. Amazing.
That is.
That's something else.
Yeah.
Don't even trust bloody Google. Lady Google.
Lady Google. What that's what she gets for using the lady voice on the GPS.
She should switch the voice out to a man voice and see if it's more trustworthy for her customers.
You know, they might explode with confusion because it's still a lady driving but a man talking. hate?
I don't know who to hate.
Yeah.
Just thought that was a funny one. Has anyone got any of their own personal mansplains this month?
I haven't had one for a while.
I haven't got a personal mansplain, but I have been really struck while we've been touring with the binary nature of radio interviews. If there's a man and a woman doing a show together, Jeremy gets lots of, so what's it like travelling with your wife? With that kind of tone to it. With your wife. And who goes first? And we always get, no matter who's interviewing us, we always get asked, which one of you is funnier? Like it's a competition. And do you steal each other's jokes and are you competitive? But really binary. So, and I'm pretty sure that if it was a couple of men doing a tour, and that happens all the time, you know, they don't get asked those questions about who's funnier or, what's it like to travel together. And the answer about us traveling together is that the reason we did this tour is because we didn't see enough of each other, and because we both travel so much independently, and we thought we'll do a tour together so we can hang out.
Aww,
and they're, but nice. They're all like expecting you to, you know, do you fight? No, why would we do that? Why would we choose to do that? So yeah, lots of who goes first and what's your show about, and it's like fuck, I just tell jokes, mate.
Just how do you answer those questions about, you know, the more
competitive ones? I'm so tempted now to just go with it, to do the yes and thing, go, yeah, we fight all the time and it's shit travelling together and I'm much funnier than he is, just because it's, you feel kind of defensive always going, no, we really like each other.
Yeah.
No, it's quite lovely.
Yeah.
We get on terrific. It's great. So, yeah. The radio interviews have been sometimes excruciating. Yay. And they're always at 7:30 in the morning as well, so that makes it fun.
Oh, yeah. It's the zany breakfast host.
Yeah.
Love a zany breakfast host.
Wacky and zoopy, usually, is what they're called.
Oh, my God. Love it.
I am wacky. I'm zoopy. Do you hate your husband?
Yeah. Not as much as I hate him.
Hey there, Zoopy. Hope you're listening. Okay. Let's talk about something you mentioned very briefly earlier, Michelle. Unfortunately, in February, or maybe it was just a few days ago, I can't remember when it happened, but Tracy Martin decided to defer the self-ID bill, which was going to make it easier for trans and non-binary people to put the correct gender on their birth
passports. Passports, you can already do that. Birth certificates that this bill is covering. Because you're able to adjust the gender to reflect who you really are on your passport and on your driver's license. Mm-hmm. You make a statutory declaration, I believe, but then it doesn't match your birth certificate. So, and that's complicated and makes your life more difficult. And apparently it seems like the major thrust of the arguments against this is that men who want to assault women will change their birth certificate to being a woman so that they can enter bathrooms and show, like we all do, show their birth certificate at the door proof of your right to
those
use
bathroom
that bathroom.
Bouncers are really strict on that.
Because the thing about people who assault women in bathrooms is that they get their fucking paperwork together.
Yeah. They're all about their admin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible.
But that's the gist of it, right? Because
totally.
We constantly here at the Spinoff get asked to give a balanced look at the self-ID issue, at trans rights in general, and we're very much pro-trans rights and the right to self-ID however the fuck you want to. And that has been reflected in a lot of the stuff that we've published on the site. And then we get, you know, organisations like Speak Up for Women, terribly named, asking us to show the other side.
I think they're really called Speak Up for Some Women, I think, is their problem.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that's the only thing I can glean as to what their argument against is it's about safety for women from their point of view.
Yeah.
and the safety issue being men pretending to be women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is when sort of what's been behind anti-trans sentiment since the beginning of time, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aside from people who are just like backward and are just like, ooh, gross, you shouldn't be allowed to be who you want to be, then there's also the it's a man pretending to be a woman argument.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But do these people have any empirical evidence that there have been
they will
people
quote,
committing crimes pretending to be women in order to assault women?
So I believe that there are links to articles in publications like the Daily Mail
that talk
about trans women attacking women. And the little fricker I got involved with on Twitter was somebody saying that trans women in New Zealand prisons committed 6 assaults against women in the last 2 years. And my response to that was I wanted to know where the data came from because I couldn't find it. But I wanted to know what the total number of assaults in prison in women's prisons was in the last 2 years because I think that's relevant. Are there 6 assaults a day in general terms and then 6 over 2 years that involve trans women? Do we have a problem with gender identity or do we have a problem with safety in prisons?
Yeah.
That's a whole different conversation.
Absolutely.
And that's when it all landed on my head. So I see that they have links to unpleasant stories. You know, the way Trump has links to unpleasant stories about immigrants and what they do.
Yeah.
And then you ignore any other data and go, these people are violent and dangerous.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
It's a total moral panic. And also, because trans people are people, non-binary people are people, there is going to be a subset, potentially, that do bad things same way that many, many cis people do bad things.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that you should grant the fundamental, human right to...
It reminds me because I'm in my 50s and I remember the arguments before 1986 and the Homosexual Law Reform Bill, which was to characterise all gay men as predatory paedophiles who would assault small children in toilets.
Yeah.
And it just feels like that same conversation again, that vile nonsense about they're dangerous in bathrooms.
Straight, cis, conservative people are obsessed with what goes on in toilets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really are. You know, they've got like the right to use whatever toilet you want in schools conversation going on in like the US or whatever. Just people go to the toilet in toilets. That's all that happens in toilets.
I swear to you, I've never seen anyone's genitals in a bathroom or changing room.
Except for some crying and some hugging and sharing of lipstick in women's toilets, which is the norm.
But we usually got your pants up while you're doing stuff.
Right.
I mean, I literally have not seen anybody's genitals in a changing room. Why does it? I don't care. It's not...
Stop obsessing about toilets, you weirdos.
And when you say conservative, it's really interesting to me. In my wider family, my cousin's child is trans. And the family has been so kind of, fair enough.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal because they know the person and they know what they're like and how they've been for years, and it all makes perfect sense.
And that's not the thing that defines them.
No, no one's really bothered about it at all. You know, the grandparents are chill. Everybody's chill about it because, you know, I always remember that in Carterton, conservative rural farming community voted Georgina Beyer in as a mayor and then later as a member of parliament and just went, sure.
She'll be good at the job.
She'll be great.
Yeah. And you know who she won out against as MP?
It was Paul Henry.
Paul Henry.
Oh. What a win.
What a great fuck you.
I did not know that.
Amazing times. It sucks, obviously.
It sucks.
It's gone down to some... There not being enough public consultation seems to be the line of Tracy Martin, but it also sort of feels like bowing to pressure of a very
It really does. It would be like bowing to anti-vaxxers. That's how I see it. I don't think there's a balanced discussion to be had because I think people on the other side who will probably write a story about this podcast.
Yeah.
We saw that other story, by the way.
We saw that.
You didn't do a very good job, I'll just say that. But I don't believe there's a balanced argument to be had.
I don't want to
I believe there's right and there's wrong. Mm-hmm. I believe there's people who are being bigoted and hateful and they're trying to take away the God-given rights of other human beings.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I just can't see the spin-off giving you a platform anytime soon. I can't speak for our managing editor, but that's what
you're probably
it looks
not
like from
publishing a lot of climate denying stuff on the spin-off either.
Exactly.
No. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're there with the anti-vaxxers and the climate change deniers.
I wonder how she'll write that. Applause.
How do you write fart noise and on Medium?
Yeah, transcribe this.
Oh, no, so immature. Oh, God. Let's talk about that. Clothing. Well, we're sort of in the realms of gender.
Ooh,
gender
yes.
fluid clothing.
Yeah.
Two big examples in the past month. There was Helen Stein's launched a new suit campaign with model Laura Evans looking amazing in a little black and white suit and tie. And
looks so good.
Again,
really good.
Again,
backlash. Outrage. Oh yeah, was there actual backlash?
There was like one guy called Ted on Facebook doing some kind of Michelle Ecourt voice going,
oh no, why? What? Can't you just leave something for the men that's special to them? Why can't you do that?
Oh my God, it's almost verbatim. That was amazing.
And did someone say the anger. One shop? The one shop we've got.
The one shop we've got.
I think you'll find there's more than that.
Also, why don't you marry Heron Stein? Yeah.
Also, you know, you are allowed to wear a dress in the same way that women are allowed to wear a suit and a jacket. So fucking walk into Glassons and buy a dress.
Literally no one
is stopping you from shopping there.
You put on a frock, you can look totally hot.
Yeah.
Billy Porter
at the Oscars.
Oh, he looked so awesome.
It did look amazingly good.
It looked really good.
Yeah.
Tuxedo top with matching full tuxedo skirt.
Yeah.
I want to wear it.
Yeah. And I
loved it to the Voyager Media Awards if I get nominated for anything.
And I loved his response. He said he just didn't care what people said about that. He was living inside my own authenticity. And yeah. You just go, oh, bless you. Mm. Yeah. Thank
you. To be honest, I don't know much about him as a person or presenter or whatever. And so saw that and didn't even know if he was, you know, straight, pan, bi, whatever. And it really didn't matter. Like, honestly, if he was as cis and hetero as it comes and was, like, getting nominated for Best Actor that night, I still think that that outfit looks completely appropriate.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It looks surprisingly familiar.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I didn't go...
Impressive and beautiful. It's beautifully tailored. That's all you want.
In a really similar way to the woman in the suit looked dignified and... hot. He looked dignified and hot.
Yeah. Oh, God, I've just seen a picture of him at the Golden Globes as well. He's got a glorious cape.
Oh,
a glorious bejeweled cape.
Lining.
It's just a stylish man.
He really is.
Very
My
stylish
God.
Man.
Also, going back to Helen Stein's, it's not the first time they featured a woman in their campaign, except for the last time they did it. It wasn't even that long ago. It was a butch woman. So she was quite mask like all the other men in the campaign.
Right.
She looked fucking rad. Was clearly a woman, but was a mask woman. And I don't think that many people noticed.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I mean, there's probably a couple of dorky comments, but there certainly wasn't any outrage or backlash that I remember.
Gosh, yeah, people whinged another. I'm just sorry, I'm just reading the news. I'm sorry now. Let the boys have something to themselves for once. Come on, ladies.
Because it's not like the CEOs of every fucking thing or own 80% of the world's wealth. Fucking, all they've got is suits.
That's all they have. I mean, he did notice that she's only one of five people in that picture as well, right? Like the majority of the people in that picture are still men wearing
suits. But
she's
in the middle. She's bigger than them. She's wearing
like
it better.
Boy beat makeup as well. It's like quite natural and heavy eyebrows. She looks rad.
Come on, ladies, we have enough clothing stores of our own, plenty of which have suits we can wear.
As
another angry person
that one?
Said.
She got too many legs for that suit or something.
Oh, excellent. It's good stuff. Confession corner. who wants to atone for some feminist sins this month.
Yeah, I got one.
What is yours?
I got one. So 27 shows and I still don't know how to put the PA together at the show because when we get to the venue, I help load the gear in, sure, but then I leave the boys to do all the setup while I put my makeup on. And my makeup takes longer than setting up a PA.
Oh, my God. Michelle.
So still, I've got no idea. Like, if they both went away, I wouldn't know how to plug a fucking PA in. It's appalling. Still, they don't know how to fill an eyebrow, so.
Yeah.
Which is more important at the end of the day.
Well. Also, it is super easy, though.
I wouldn't know because I'm not. I'm just dumping shit on the stage and go, call me when you need a sound check.
That's done. Got eyebrows to attend to.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
We forgive you.
Yeah. We forgive you.
I don't know if I deserve it.
Mine is just that I have very guiltily been consuming every little piece of the Jordan Woods Kardashian drama.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not proud of myself. I'm not even a big follower of, you know, keeping up with the Kardashians.
I am completely oblivious to this.
So Jordan Woods is Kylie Jenner's best friend.
Is this on Spotify?
It's on Spotify and MySpace. She's been, like, living with her for years. She's basically just been living a Kardashian lifestyle thanks to being a best friend of a Kardashian. And then it came out recently that she kissed Khloe Kardashian's husband. So she ended up doing a interview with Jada Pinkett Smith and Willow and the mother, whose name I've forgotten, in Jada Pinkett Smith's video series called In the Red Room, and it's fucking awesome. That whole video series is amazing. I highly recommend it as a watch club, actually, because it's three generations of black women who sit down and they talk about really interesting stuff. They're obviously incredibly close, so they're super frank with each other, and it's not always like nice sort of E! Tonight kind of content either. Like, they get real gritty. There's actually a really good episode of them talking to Will Smith about their family dynamic and Jada Pinkett Smith and his marriage, which was super frank and amazing as well. Anyway, so she did an interview with Jordan Woods about the whole thing, and basically she was like, I did not sleep with Khloe Kardashian's husband. We just kissed. It all happened before I even knew what was going on. It was a party. I'm pretty sure their marriage was already fucked before I came along. And Twitter has a lot of thoughts. I'm not proud, but I've just read a lot. Obviously.
You're across it.
I'm across it. I also don't give a shit what happens to these people, but there's very little drama going on in my own life. So I just...
See, and I don't know. A serving of schadenfreude with mayonnaise is just gorgeous, isn't it? Yeah, you're allowed.
You're allowed.
Yeah, that's
you're not actually harming anybody by observing.
That's true.
Are you partaking in the discourse?
No. No comments. I'm too afraid someone I know will see it. Discredit my
not
life.
Not like talking about it on a podcast.
Not like talking about it.
Nobody knows.
Chatham House rules.
My confession corner is that I hate Valentine's Day. I say, let's never do anything. What a waste of time. Corporate shit. Fuck capitalism. This is bullshit. And then I wake up on Valentine's Day and go, where's my present? And then this month, Joe was like, I thought you said you hated it. What's going on? And I was like, classic. This is literally verbatim out of my mouth. But I'm the girl.
Alan.
He was like, where's my present? And I was like, nah. Bad feminist. Just wants a present.
Yeah.
Just wants cash, you know?
Not even flowers.
Just cash in an envelope.
Aww.
Just sometimes, like all the way up until the day.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
But it was fine. We got to go to the Heartbreak Island party, as Tina will remember.
We were dancing.
And it was actually the greatest gift of all. But yeah, bare feminist, it's all fine. It's all fine. Just give me a present, somebody. She talk about Squeakerson, Jordan B.
He so doesn't bother me anymore. I used to, before I saw and heard him, I thought, oh, he's a real threat too, because he's so influential and, you know, what he says when you read it, you go, wait, that's really bullshit, but I can see how. Anyway, then he turns up and he's so unhappy. He's a very unhappy man.
He's unhappy and unimpressive.
He's really, and he's bumper stickers. He's, I've been doing a gag about him in the show, and it's funny that he's not in the punchline, he's in the setup. And so people laugh at it, and then people say to me afterwards, who's Jordan Peterson? And I go, he's kind of a white Canadian Brian Tamaki. He's just a bumper sticker dude who's trying to make a lot of money by telling people to sit up straight and clean their room. Yeah.
Mm. Pat a cat if you see it on the street. I could tell you that. I could tell you that for free.
Pat a cat.
Yeah, that's kind of what struck me. I feel like, especially like in the media Twitter bubble, everyone was pretty hyped over like Peterson. Like,
outrage and backlash.
Outrage and backlash. We're ready. We're stretching. Ready for the backlash. And then I watched the interviews and I was like, you're just like a nerd.
Yeah.
And you look like you're dead behind the eyes.
I just want to talk about how women just, they're not happy unless they have children. That's what I like to talk about.
Oh, my God. It's like he's here, eh? It's like he's here. Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan B. Squeakerson in the studio with us today.
Oh, my God. I did watch his interview with Hayley Holt on TV, on Breakfast on TV in Sydney. Basically told her that she's going to live a very lonely, a long, lonely life because she's decided to not have children.
You'll be lonely if you don't have grandchildren.
What did Hayley say to that?
She was like, you know, she was amazing. She was like, you say that, but I look at my friends and their decisions and I look at my life and I actually feel quite blessed, you know, and he's just like,
that won't last. You know, in a few years, you'll be lonely and sad.
It's so funny because the insinuation there is he's like, you know, you're going to live till you're 90, he said to her, and you'll find that you'll become more lonely and you won't have any. And I was like, are your only friends the ones you've actually created with your sperm?
Yeah.
Like, are those the only people around you? You had to create your, like, network.
Yeah.
I think you'll find a lot of people with children die lonely because their children are assholes as well. That's a very real risk and that people, you take by reaching 90.
People who consciously cultivate good relationships and friendships probably end up being less lonely when they're 95.
I bet his parents, his children don't like to spend Christmas with him because all he eats is meat.
Well, he actually got that from his daughter, so that's something that they share.
Oh.
That's a diet that she developed to troubleshoot some
Has
of her
depression.
Dietary issues. Yeah. And he was just like, it cured everything for me as well, even though they were completely different issues we were having.
He came and he left.
Yeah.
He made a huge impression on Sean Plunkett. And,
I know, they're best buddies, I don't think.
Love is for life.
I don't remember Sean, but he's got my photo on his page. I met a lot of people.
Oh, my God.
What I thought was also quite sad is that literally everyone that posted in New Zealand about Jordan Peterson on Twitter, mostly, he commented on. That guy has the time to argue with people from New Zealand with opinions.
Oh, he's all over it.
Yeah.
And I felt sad in my heart for him about that for some reason. Just like, imagine just sitting there Googling your name all day.
Checking your mentions.
You're just checking your mentions.
And then ripping Sean, like magic talk to make a video for your YouTube channel. Recording yourself with little earphones
Oh, it's sad.
But I think that's the best defense against the rise. It's just, he's just sad and funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not like.
No.
Bless him.
Feel bad for him. I did laugh out loud when Simon Wilson wrote in his story about him that his voice is like never not getting far away from Kermit or something. It's just like, it's a shame.
Why are there so many?
The final story I wanted to talk about, something that freaked me out this month, which was a story on The Guardian about how basically the world has, well, we know this, that the world has been built for men, but this is, the world has been built for men to the extent that stab vests on policewomen and car crash dummies have only been tested in some situations and some instances for male proportions, yeah. sizes, weights, and it's literally killing women.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the most amazing feature. It was linked a couple of times in the On the Reg page, but I'll put it on our main page as well because it kind of starts talking about, you know, minor things like the fact that when it was the new Apple Watch or something came out with that health thing and it didn't have a period checker. Yeah. Again, outrage, backlash. More just men, women going, hey, that's sort of weird that you've missed.
It's a thing I would find very handy on this.
This really important thing in my life. And then down to things like the sizes of phones, like when they went, I don't know if they're still in that phase where they're trying to make iPhones as big as possible. Mm, like, but they were so big. I mean, can you hold that phone comfortably, Tina? Nah.
And not take photos with it. That was, you know, one of the fantastic stories that she told was a photographer who, yeah, a woman in a who was a professional photographer in a dire, I can't even, she was in a protest or something and needed to take photos of a moment, but her hand can't reach around to hit the shutter thing right. on the phone. I'm explaining that incredibly badly, so we'll link to it. But what I also love about this woman, who Caroline Criado Perez, who spent 3 years researching this book, is that once the excerpt was published in The Guardian, men arrived in her feed on Twitter saying, "That's not true. They have lady dummies in cars. They do that all the time. That's what they do." And she said eventually in one of her tweets, "I'm going to have it tattooed on my face. It's just a downsized, a scaled down male dummy with, they've never tested the female dummy in anything but the passenger seat, never in the driver's seat, that the centre of gravity's in a different place, that the whole makeup of the, it's, and I'm going to have it fucking tattooed on my face." Yeah. And so her feed, just go to her feed on Twitter and just read through her delightful responses to people going, "No, that's not true. Yeah. Here's the truth.
I googled it.
And she's going, "Yeah, I did 3 years of research, and that's more reliable than your Google box." Mm.
But it is every way. It's like architecture as well. I was at a large media organization, and they have internally this huge balcony that goes all around the inside of like the giant newsroom with a glass floor. And I was just like looking at people's skirts as they walked above me, thinking, there is no way in hell this was designed by a woman or with any women in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you are going to have a giant glass balcony, maybe warn your employees or something, or I don't know. I just, and they obviously are just so used to it that it's like they're just walking around and probably unaware or aware, but are just used to the fact that their workspace was not designed for them or with them in mind.
And I'm assuming that this book also covers this because I read some early research, I think, from the same woman last year that women aren't used very often in medical trials because we have periods and there's a hormonal fluctuation that can affect the results, which means that heart medication, for example, is built for, is designed for men, but women experience heart attacks in a completely different way from men. They, the symptoms they present are different and the need that they have from the drug is they need a lower dosage of one thing and a higher dosage of another, but they're not used in trials. So women are taking men's drugs that don't really do the job.
Yeah.
This just reminded me of another story that apparently Viagra is great for period cramps.
Yes.
Like it was like a side effect that also has been known about for a really long time, but just never marketed as that. They went, "No, we'll just do the blue. We'll just do the penis pill."
Much more important.
Much more important.
About like a handful of women get period
pain. What is
the show? It's fine.
Lots of men can't get it. Oh, what? Wait a minute.
Yeah, that was amazing, actually. I was reading about that the other day as well. Like, wow.
Wow.
Also, it's publicly funded as well, Viagra. And, or maybe it is in the US.
Okay.
It's publicly funded in the US and not, and women's menstrual products or, and painkillers specifically for that are not, which is amazing because they developed a pill that could have actually helped.
Yeah.
And they made that available subsidised for men.
And you can get your partner, if you have a male partner, to lie and say that he has erectile dysfunction so that you can use the pills for your periods. Sisterhood.
And one more point from that Guardian article was also aircon and temperatures in places, which Tina Tiller, I'm looking at you, our producer, sitting here in the middle of summer, wrapped often in like one or two blankets. You know she's toasty if she's just got the scarf on. But that's like a global epidemic of places that have aircon. They always run to the temperature of men who run hotter and also generally wear more clothes.
Because they've got their Hallenstein suit on.
Because of their Hallenstein suits.
Give them this one thing, Michelle.
Oh, fuck. If it is just that one thing.
But yeah, fascinating study. What about Watch Club, Book Club? I have like jack shit to contribute. I've had such a rough month of only watching Married at First Sight.
I haven't watched anything either. Have you?
My one thing for Watch Club this month was actually one specific episode of Chef's Table, which is the Netflix series which looks at a different, like, quite amazing chef at each episode. And they're sort of nearly documentary length, each one, so that you really get a good look at their life. And there's one episode in the latest series about a Zen Buddhist monk named Zhong Quan, and she lives in this amazing mountain temple, and she cooks for everyone in the temple and for people that come and visit. And she only cooks vegan temple food, it's called. And I have never been so inspired by anyone's food preparation in my whole life. And she just brings this really amazing, like, sense of, like, calm to things like making kimchi and preserves. Mm. She makes her own soy sauce and had this really amazing quote about soy sauce, like, soy sauce is eternal. It is life.
Oh, my God.
And she puts that sort of level of care into, like, and so on Chef's Table, they usually have sort of a montage near the end where they have all these different dishes that chef is known for, that chef has made, and they're incredible.
Mm.
And hers was just like lotus tea, and it was just like one giant beautiful lotus flower in a bowl of water, and then like one preserved leaf of like this one particular preserve that she made. And she just inspired me so much. So
sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. And I just, the similarities between cooking and Buddhism, and it made me want to just, well, it's also contributed a lot to my wanting to be just like solely plant-based eating as well, trying to transition to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helped.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I've been catching up on Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat
after
your recommendation, maybe even 2 months
ago. She's great, right?
Amazing. Yeah. That whole, this is sort of some of the thing. I'd watched the one where, they're making miso paste.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. Yeah. But it's such a soothing. It's so soothing to watch, isn't it? Just like someone do one thing so intricately, so perfectly, and then let it sit for 3 years.
Yeah.
Just let it sit for 3 years, you know? Go work on something else. But, yeah, I thought that series was amazing as well. She's such an amazing woman.
Yeah.
So passion.
Yeah.
Passion for food.
Food is worth being passionate about because it makes you think so much harder about where it's come from and what it does.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I watched it while eating a pepperoni Domino's pizza. It's the value range and I'm on hard times.
Well,
it's good to have aspirations.
Yes. Okay. And the other thing I had for book club is, this is terrible, it's not a book I've read, it's a book I listened to a podcast about.
Love it.
But plan to read, because it was a book that was actually brought up at work by our accounts person, Karen, and it's called Why Women Have Better Sex Under Socialism and Other Arguments for Economic Independence.
I love it.
And she had, it's by Dr. Kristen Godsey, and she had, Karen, our workmate, had talked about it, like a really good podcast. And so I looked up the podcast the other day, and it's just 50 minutes of the author talking about the cover of the book, basically. Mm. And that even though, you know, sort of these former Eastern Bloc countries are better off not under state socialism, there were all these really interesting tenets of socialism that were sort of put forward and promoted, such as economic independence for women leads to more freedom and better orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating hearing her talk about it. So
Whoa.
it's on, I'm going to read it. so I'll be able to talk about the actual book rather than a podcast about the book.
Oh, viva la revolution.
Yeah.
I read Normal People, Sally Rooney, which you recommended last month, and I loved it. And then I was in a town that didn't have a bookstore. Well, I had a bookstore, but it only sold Stephen King's. So I downloaded Lucy Foley's first crime novel, The Hunting Party. She's a London-based writer. She's written three historical novels. She used to work in publishing, and now she's, so this is her first crime novel. It's really good. The Hunting Party, it's a thriller, and it skips between New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and the 2nd of January in a year, and you know right from the start that there's been a murder, but you don't, and they're in an isolated space. There's been a murder, but you don't know who's been murdered, and you don't know obviously who did it. And really great women characters, relationships between them. Like, that's, the men are, I mean, there are a couple of men that get a good shake of the stick, but it's mostly about the relationships between, amongst the women.
Who done it?
I'm not telling.
Great.
Oh, it's really good.
Good tip. Thank you.
Fabulous. I intend to read a book next month. All right. To finish, we should nominate our Yes Queen.
Yeah.
For the month.
Yeah.
Who would like to go first?
I can, because we've already talked about her. I'm just delighted with Caroline Criado Perez for the data, because data is our friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yes Queen.
Yes, Queen.
Mine is Jade Hamister, who officially became the youngest person ever to pull off the polar hat trick. She's a 16-year-old teenage girl visiting the North and South Pole, as well as crossing Greenland, all the while on skis somehow. So that's amazing. But the more amazing thing is that, so she's sort of like become this online adventurer, and she did a TED talk before she did this trip. And she got a lot of trolls and a lot of men in the comments. Hey, make me a sandwich. Stupid young woman. Yeah. So what she did when she finished her trip in the South Pole is she made a ham and cheese sandwich. She took a photo of herself in the South Pole and said, I made you a sandwich. Now ski 37 days and 600 kilometers to the South Pole and you can eat it.
Yeah.
She put it on her Facebook page. And like, that's the good stuff right there. Yes.
My Yas Queen is Tapu Misa, who is the editor of I Tangata, which is the online Sunday magazine for Māori and Pasifika that comes out every week. And she's just produced a really cool 6-part series for International Women's Day called Conversations, featuring women like Pania Newton and Moana Maniapoto and, who else is in there? Lots of really cool women, Emmeline Afiaki Mafileo, and just talking about all these things that make them the wonderful women they are. But Tapu introduces the documentary with this really cool personal essay about becoming a writer herself and the fact that we all have a story to tell and why that's important and what happens when you share that story and it connects to other people and then that connects to other people. The ongoing effects of storytelling. So it was a really nice piece. And just generally the kaupapa at I Tangata is really cool, and I respect them a lot. I look up to them a lot as mentors in this crazy media business. Mm. So yeah, Tapu's my Yas Queen.
Yes Queen.
Lovely. And then the greatest Yas Queen of all is Tina Tiller, our producer. Stay here and listen to us all. We've come to the end of the podcast for another month. Please stay tuned on all the channels.
Standing very by.
For a video program.
A video program show.
That is arriving on March 13th on The Rag. We'd love it if you can share it, boost it, talk about it. It's very exciting for us. Hopefully I can get my words together tomorrow.
Nah.
We'll see. And thank you so much again to the Women's Bookshop for supporting us. Yes. Please go buy their books. So much clapping.
Otherwise, there'll be outrage and backlash.
Exactly, there will be. Battle lines will be drawn. We'll see you next month.
Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.